This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. This is our feature review for you. We're going to do a Netflix show called, what? The Dark Crystal.
Age of Resistance. My name is Paul.
And my name is Wayne.
This week then, as Wayne has said, we're switching to TV because there wasn't much out in the cinema that had any broad appeal. Full disclosure.
Go ahead.
We were going to do The Kitchen.
Yeah, Paul said like, yo man, we got to do The Kitchen. And I saw the trailer. I said, yeah, obviously you do The Kitchen. That'd be cool.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's like maybe set it off, but for a normal, for a modern age.
Modern age. Sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and
Paul went to see it. I did not because.
I saw it blind, had no idea of the reviews, and came out there going, ooh.
Really piece of shit then, was it?
I'm like, what else is out this week?
Really? So bad that you don't even want to talk about it?
Well,
because he spent the time to watch it, right?
Yes. And then it's like, well, I will talk about it on a future top 10 last year. And maybe on the worst 10 films the year list. But today, it is TV. It is Dark Crystal. It is a throwback to our youth, as well as trying to welcome in the youth of today, which is a difficult juggling act. But Netflix have tried to pull it off.
Have they succeeded?
We shall soon find out. It's a fantasy adventure series developed by Jeffrey Addis and Will Matthews and directed by Louis Leterrier. Does that name ring a bell?
Yes, it does. And I keep remembering, what the hell did he do? Louis Leterrier. He was...
Sure.
I'm just making shit up. What did he do?
He did Now You See Me.
Yes, that's what it was. I liked that movie despite it being shit.
That one was okay. But he also did The Clash of the Titans remake. Where he pretty much shat all over our fantasy youth.
Yeah.
Well. And he did more recently Grimsby with Mark Strong and Sacha Baron
I never saw that one. Did you see it?
Absolutely.
Is it balls?
Pants.
Really? It looked shit. It really looked shit.
So I was a bit worried when I saw his name pop up in the credits, but we'll get to what I thought of his direction as we proceed. It has one of the most maddest ensemble voice casts ever. Now, have you done any research on this?
I know the main three.
The main three are Taron Egerton, Anna Taylor-Joy, and Natalie Emmanuel from Game of Thrones. For those, Missandei,
yes.
Yes.
She's awesome.
And then a whole host of who's who. Jason Isaac, Mark Hamill, Keegan-Michael Key, Simon Pegg.
Damn.
Alicia Vikander, Andy Samberg, Helena Bonham Carter.
You're shitting me.
It goes on. And on.
This I didn't know that.
It's mad. Like, and you won't. We'll play a little guessing game later so you can pick the voices for who's who.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 episodes. They're all between 46 and 61 minutes long.
Bloody long.
We'll not be reviewing the entire show because it only came out 2 days ago as of recording. I've seen three episodes. Wayne's seen about 2.5.
Yeah.
So there'll be no spoilers beyond the end of episode 3. So you may listen safely, but we're not going to do a spoiler section. We're just going to get into it. So if you haven't seen this at all and want to keep it purely for your discovery, then maybe switch off now. Wayne, what's it about?
If you haven't seen the original 1982 Dark Crystal, I shall tell you my memories of that film, despite me being 7. Okay, it was a fantasy movie with puppets. Puppets every damn where, okay? Some puppets look like elves with snouts called gelflings, and other puppets look like nasty-ass, rotten-looking condors with beaks and scratchy voices.
I thought they were vultures.
So did I. Vultures, good, not bad. You know what? Yeah, vultures is what it is. And then they're the bad guys. They're called the Skeksis. And then there's this thing called the Shard, which is really important for some reason, and then I can't remember the rest because I was 7. So
have you never seen it since?
No, but I'll tell you what I remember
about it. It's on Netflix. I rewatched it in prep for this.
Really?
Not this episode, but for watching the show.
You know the things with the long arms that they ride on?
Yep.
I'd have crutches when I was in year 10, like for about like a few months.
Yep.
And everyone compared me to one of those things.
So, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I know. So that's what I remember about this show. Now, this show here is a prequel to that Dark Crystal movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Set about 100 years before.
100 years before. So where everything was like, there's very few gelfling in the original movie. This one, they're everywhere. There's tons of them. And it's a really nice, bright, wicked area. And it's sweet. And there's these three gelflings, Ryan, Bria, and Deet. And they set out to save their world, which is called Thra, having learned the terrible secret of their rulers, the Skeksis, which you know by the original movie are actually the bad guys. But in this thing, they don't know they're the bad guys. They think they're all good and royalty and shit. So, big battle scenes, jaw-dropping fantasy scenes. Yeah, that's what it's basically about. It is the prequel to what happened.
Fair enough. And as therefore mentioned, it is trying to capture both people of your and I's age and ilk who have a nostalgia boner for this kind of thing.
Yes.
As well as the youth of today who might be interested in some old school puppetry mixed and augmented with the occasional bit of CGI, which is very different and
really different
visually. If I might start here,
it is
very, very visually arresting. This series looks beautiful,
really beautiful, and in a way, because initially I was like, ooh, there's all these sweeping like CGI shots through the thing, which is gorgeous. I was sitting there going, and some of them was like, is that CGI good or is it not good? Turns out it is good. It's whatever it is. The entire thing looks uniform and I don't know. It's a real clever aesthetic. Execution very, very good.
Yeah, I think it's technically marvelous, this show. Like, the largely practical effects really bring things to life.
That is what is different about this.
And then you get the augmentation of the backgrounds and the CGI, and occasionally where the characters move when you're further out from a distance, it becomes a bit of CGI type thing, which works as well.
I think it's okay once you if you can forget that you're watching puppets, right? Which I don't know that I did, but then again, I'm an old man.
I think it'd be easier for you to forget puppets than it will be for the new age, where we don't see a lot of this kind of thing anymore.
That's actually probably true. I think the execution of using the old fashioned puppets with just like you said, CGI touches here and there. That is really perfect, because if you look at the old movie and you see this one, you can see it's the same aesthetic, but it is better now because they've got better tech to do it.
Of course. 37 years later, it should be better.
Totally. But it's not so new looking that it's like the later seasons of Red Dwarf, where it's just completely different. So that, you know what I mean? They haven't on purpose done that. And it made it a little bit better, but good enough that you can recognize it.
One thing they actually have massively improved on is the speed at which the puppets move.
Really?
In the original Dark Crystal, which I recently rewatched, it's only like 90 minutes long. Feels like 2.5 hours, that film. Because whenever the characters are moving, they're kind of in that very marionette kind of, everything's very deliberate,
is it?
Slow way. Whereas this one is a lot more fluid. So either the puppetry's gotten better or they're augmenting it again with CGI in some ways.
You mention it, I think I do. Are you talking about the Skeksis?
All of them. Skeksis, the Mystics, which we haven't seen in the show at this particular point anyway. Even the Gelflings, when they're in that original film, everything's very ploddingly paced, very deliberate, very slow.
I remember when the Dark Crystal original one came out, that was like Jim Henson throwing up in the faces of his fans.
A little bit.
Because it was like all these, from the Muppets, where he's like, da-da-da-da-da, all these happy-ass things. All of a sudden it's like, here's some rotten fucking bird cunts. You know, like... It's like
not sure that word was mentioned.
You know, but like, now you're seeing all this like horrible version of Muppets. So I guess it obviously resonated. So it was a big hit back then, right?
It was a hit. It turned a lot of people off, though, for how dark it is. And I guess that's a point to make about this series as well.
Yes.
It's showing signs that it could be very dark. And of course, to get where the film starts, things are going to have to go ultra dark.
Now, question for you. Mm-hmm. Is it a kid show?
Well, we had this debate with my about my six-year-old, my partner and I. I was like, should she watch it? By the end of the second episode, I decided probably not.
No, I think...
And mostly because it's too boring.
Agree. That's good.
For her, for a six-year-old, too boring. Now, Wayne, where is your intellect at, and how do you think this is in terms of interest levels?
Okay, look, if you like the original one, there's a good chance you will like this
exactly.
one.
Exactly, yep.
However, if you're like me and the world has crushed your childlike innocence, you may not give a fuck. This show, the dark things that it goes to are probably too dark for, and I have no idea because I don't have kids and I don't have kids and shit, so, but... Like, I probably wouldn't show it to if I had a really young niece, like 4-year-old niece.
No, definitely not.
I wouldn't do that. Even though it's puppets. Hey. Because there's a bit of Game of Thrones-y dispatching of characters here and there. Not, you know, it's
nowhere near Game of Thrones level.
Yeah, it's not.
Maybe it will become that way.
Well, no titties and dragons, hopefully, but yeah.
And in that order, please. Well,
but I would say this, the first episode, fuck me, that took a long time. I was just going, you were really relying on me continuing to be impressed at the graphics, which I was for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I was like, this is a real meandering kind of episode, and I got a bit fucking bored, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, I can't argue too hard against that. I think I'm more engaged than you are, but absolutely, it's a slow build.
And yeah, it is a slow build, and there's no getting around the sameness of the character design, as beautiful as it is. There's, I don't know, the puppet things, the Gelflings more than anyone, look to me to be a bit, I know that's how they look, but they look rubbery to me, and there's soulless eyes.
They're still puppets.
I know,
we're not
in
an uncanny valley situation where they're too realistic. I still think there's a lot more emotion going on in the puppet faces than there were in The Lion King, for example.
Oh, yeah, but that, see, I like that better.
What? No.
You know what it is? It's hard to tell the puppet characters apart. Mm. I had a little bit of that problem. I had a little bit of that going on.
Not for me.
Really?
Yeah. So Deet is...
Summer chicks.
She's a greenish hued skin because she lives underground. Like, and Bria is from the ruling class. And so it's all about her, how shiny her hair is.
Which is the one with the wings? Bria. I mean, they've all got wings, but the one that flies. Okay.
Bria. I don't know if they all fly or the royalty flies or all the girls fly. I'm not sure.
That, yeah, the dudes.
Maybe all the girls
say,
we don't
have wings. We're boys.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it is because the female guard in the Skeksis castle, she also flew. So.
Oh.
So you're right. It's all the girls fly, the boys don't.
Well, that's what's weird. This is like, I was going, oh, the Skeksis have the Gelflings as actual army. That's their army.
Well, that's probably the most interesting thing for me is how different this world is than what it ends up in the movie. That at this point, the Gelflings, as ruled by their upper class, are telling the masses the Skeksis are good and benevolent and they protect us. I'm not quite sure how, but that's the message.
Because they don't look like they're good guys.
No, of course not. But then we shouldn't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, but these people are all like basically Scandinavians. That's what's happening in this world. And then you've got these like vulture asses that are all black and purple. Okay, so they just
and they look like they're rotting and they're falling.
They look
apart.
Like they're rotting. Rotting things typically are not things you go, oh,
I know,
they're good.
But still,
I know.
So that's the interesting sort of politics side of it, and that's what it's called, the Age of Resistance, and that's what these three characters. Well, where I'm up to, at least one of them has worked out. The other two are on their journey to work out the bad things. Like. One has worked out that the world is slowly dying because of what the Skeksis are doing with the crystal shard.
Yep.
And you know they've corrupted it and are going to start sucking in Gelfling's life force to sustain themselves. Mm-hmm. So the world is now dying and Orgra has been bamboozled in the most ridiculous way, somehow go off and explore the cosmos and she wakes up from after hundreds of years or whatever it is.
Lost me a bit there, I must say, that one.
I remember her from the original film, so...
Okay, see, I've forgotten bugger. I don't remember nothing.
Right. And she's the one that has to set everyone on their paths to carve out destiny. And clearly, she works out that we can't win at this point. We can only win in the future type thing. That's coming.
Okay, I mean...
And I'm told, and I did a little bit of research, that the second half of the show does pick up in pace. That once all
I would hope so.
Once all the pieces are in place, that there are some battles and the like, and it becomes a bit more Lord of the Ringing and that type of thing. Although, again, I guess it's going to be Gelfling on Gelfling because there's only 10 Skeksis.
That's right. It's not this, like, exactly.
It's not an army of Skeksis.
Which is kind of more interesting, if you ask me.
All right. Well, now, having said all that, and so I basically agree with you, but I'm more engaged, right? And we both agree on the visual side of being very good. There's a couple of shots which aren't wonderful, but I think Louis Leterrier's direction is pretty good. There's some really nice transition shots. I think there's a couple of excellent camera moves through all the sets that they've constructed practically.
I agree.
So that part was good. I think the voice performances, particularly from the Skeksis, are all very good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of emotion and a lot of nuance in there.
Sure. Sigourney Weaver doing that narrative.
The narration at the start, yep.
I thought that was good. I was like, good, tell me everything I need to know. I don't want you to spend too much time showing me. Just tell me that what I need to know before you show me the cool
shit
that
the goes great on. Irony then is then we spend, where I'm up to, 3 hours sort of slowly progressing the plot forward.
That's my biggest problem with this is the pace and the fact that it is beautiful, but now it's like Avatar. It's like this is amazing. You better give me a story now. And I, for one, think Avatar did do that. But this one here is still struggling for me. So, are you going to keep watching it?
Yes.
You are.
But here's what I won't do. I won't binge it anymore. I packed 3 episodes into 2 days for this purpose of this recording. I'm going to space it out. Yeah, I'm not sure my fiance's on board with watching the rest of it. We both fell asleep twice. And I've had to go back and rewatch the episodes. That's full disclosure. It's quite plodding of that. Yeah. But then I'm also watching it 10 o'clock at night. Which I'm not sure is the intention, is the right thing here, if you're going to watch anything.
I know. It's definitely not my jam anymore, but if I watch it, it's for the nostalgia of okay, what happens now?
If you're a fan, absolutely you must check this out.
Yeah, and if you're a fan, you're my age, man. There's no way as a kid.
If you're coming to this new and you haven't watched the original, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to really grab you.
Yeah, and I was young when this thing came out too, impressionable.
And yeah, I agree that if you've got something invested, then you're more likely to enjoy it. And this is definitely for the fans in that regard.
But I'm amazed there are any fans left.
Well, we're not that old, for fuck's sake.
Are we?
No.
Maybe not.
Average age lifespan suggests that most of the fans of the Dark Crystal are still around.
Good point.
All right, well, let's wrap it up then with a bit of a guessing game of whose voice is this then, Wayne?
Okay.
I'm not sure even sure you got here yet, but the leader of the Stonewood Clan is played by, is the character named Mordra Farah. It's who Ryan goes to see. When he's trying to devolve or deliver the message of the Skeksis having killed.
Oh, yeah. Trying to remember that person's voice.
This is right around where you've shut off, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Any idea?
Nah. Tell me.
Lena Headey.
Really? Cersei Lannister is it?
Then who was Mira, the member of the Varp clan who did unfortunately meet her end in the first episode?
That one. So I was going to say, I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
It's Ryan's girlfriend.
Oh, shit. I'm going to be lousy at this game. Please tell me who.
Alicia Vikander.
No way.
So I'm saying this is some amazing fucking shit, dude.
So these are obviously people that flew in for one episode kind of thing.
I guess so, yeah.
That's why so many. That's cool.
Onika. So the who was the gypsy type, the Sifa clan.
Yeah.
Who don't do anything except for money. And remember that this is Bria used the potion on her dad or her master and made him forget rather than herself.
My issue is I'm trying to remember how the voice timbre sounded. Because I remember it not sparking me at the time. Who
Natalie Dormer.
Wow, Game of Thrones up in here,
son. It is Game of Thrones. Mark Strong is...
Oh, which one's he?
Ryan's father.
Oh, I didn't pick that. Ugh. Okay.
So this thing just goes on. Okay.
I only picked Taron Egerton, I'll be honest with you.
Now let's get these.
Oh, God. This could be anything because everyone can be
I'll give you Awkwafina is the one that was that was melting, the pustule covered one.
Really? That's
Benedict Wong is the general.
Oh, that's good.
Andy Samberg is the conqueror.
Okay, I was wondering whether there was an American in there. Yep. I'm like, what?
Keegan-Michael Key is the ritual master. Then the big two. Who is the scientist and who is the Chamberlain?
No idea.
Oh, Jason Isaac is the
But I know which two you're talking about at least, but I have no idea what the scientist is a sort of a... He was like a complainy kind of like... Mm-hmm. No, who's he?
No.
Mark Hamill. I should have guessed that. I should have guessed that one. I should have.
And how about the Chamberlain?
I have no idea.
Simon Pegg. You have totally failed.
Oh, I'll completely fail. I couldn't remember the damn names. It's just the characters. This thing is boring. This thing is boring, man.
Wayne fails the Age of Resistance quiz. Let's find out then his final score and any other thoughts you might have, Wayne. What do you give Dark Crystal Age of Resistance?
It's fine. It's going to get, like, it'll pass. It's a 53.
Oh,
but
geez.
I know. It's just because I don't care about it.
Hold on.
Many people agree with you. Not about the soundboard. you know what? I can tell it's technically good and it probably achieves everything it hits
53.
Out, but there's no way I'm going to watch it. I'm just not interested.
All right.
Oh, I can get to a 60. I can get to a 60.
In that case, now it's not that different from me. I'm giving it 67.
I'm interested.
So I'm an asshole when I score lower.
I realize the
logic here. If you score higher than me, Paul, you're a cunt. If you score lower than me, Paul, you're a cunt.
Since when does anything I say matter?
Yeah, I'm giving 67. I'm intrigued. It
could
go either way.
That's actually good.
It could go either way for me. I think I gave The Boys 75. So The Boys was better in terms of
original TV show. The Boys was 1,000 times better.
No, it was better, but.
Roughly 1,000 times.
This could go down a lot if it doesn't nail the back half. Like I'm putting that on good faith. That's
okay, how about this? I actually would probably possibly give it another episode or two, but it needs to suck less directly, like very, very soon. So
the best you're getting from Wayne. All right, that is our review of Dark Crystal Age of Resistance. Let us know if we got it right.
Beautiful to look
at.
Let
Wayne know because we all know he's the one that's going
to... No, beautiful to look at, but you know...
Yeah, okay. Right. Well, you can let us know via Twitter at The Countdown PC, on email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, and our Facebook listener community link is in the show notes, and you can even leave comments on the Podbean app if you are so inclined. We'll be back next week with the main review, and of course, the main episodes are out Tuesday. Our top 10s where you can get involved in the show there as well.
Word.
And also check out our Australian home, ccradio.com.au, for the CC Radio Network and other great shows available there, except Comic Confidential, who are finishing up soon and abandoning us to the wild podcast land.
Really? But then doing something else, right?
They are doing something else. The Great Mates show will be in its place.
Blomf.
That is it. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And basically, Wayne's entire review can be summarized as...
Stupid and You see what happened there, folks, is I cancelled out Paul's stupid sound with a belch of my own.
Ironically, that's also
ballsy.
Oh, fuck you. Stupid. I need you to clean it up, motherfucker.
We'll catch you next week.